Brother Mike tonight and preach what God's laid on your heart. And I'll just run around here till I find my Bible problem.
I'm afraid he's going to take that off and hit me with it, amen. But praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you, it's good to be in the house of God again tonight.
You got breeze and everything.
Oh, that feels good, man. Are you glad you're here tonight?
Yes.
Are you glad you're here tonight?
Amen.
Did I wore you out that bad?
Hallelujah.
You can say amen, Tracy. I'm just, he's not sure. Yeah. Three times is always better, you know. It's like you tell your wife, I love you. Then you say, I love you. Then you say, I really do love you, you know. Oh, he ain't going to say that? I'm trying to help, Deb. Amen. My wife said, if you're going to kiss a woman, you kiss her on the lips, not on the side of the head, brother. I'm just saying, you know. And my wife would say, I don't know what I was going to say. No, I have no idea what she would say. Amen. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. And I'm glad to be here again. And open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel with me tonight. Or Ezekiel, you know, Ezekiel. And chapter 18. Chapter 18. Just have some thoughts here. I'm not going to preach on prophecy tonight. I am not a prophetic preacher, brother. You know, I got some messages dealing around that, but some of that don't make sense to me sometimes. So to me, it's all going to wash out in the end. Hallelujah. And that I'm looking forward to now. I'll understand all of it when I get to heaven. But I got some friends that do prophecy stuff, and man, they are spot on with it. And then I think, man, I wish I could preach that the way they do. And if I try, it just don't work. So I just leave it alone. And when God gives it to me, I'll get it. Amen. That's how I look at it. But God's been good, I tell you. And it's good to be in the house of God. My wife told me again this morning to tell everybody here hello. And that she's sorry she could not be here. But she's happy to be with our son right now. And happier to be with the grandkids when she gets back to Michigan, you know. So, and in fact, she was going to go back today. She called me last night. She said, Do I have to go back? I said, well, I'm supposed to give them that check for $500 on Friday, honey, you know, for an earnest deposit for the house, you know. And she said, but do I have to go back? I said, no, you can go back Friday. I said, I'll just do it. I'll do it online, you know, so they have a program you can use. And it just amazes me what you can do online today. So I'm always a little apprehensive about giving account numbers, amen, out. And especially when they said, do this and do this, and this is the bank, and then put in your name and your password. And then all your information from the bank comes up in front of you, you know. And then it says, if you want to give those guests the $500, it's going to cost you $15. And so you hit that button, and I'm just I don't have much in that account. They ain't going to get much off me anyway, man. But that just blows my mind what they can do with computers today. How many of you pay bills online? Anybody here pay a bill besides me? You know, boy, a lot of you do, amen. I tell you, we're probably going to get stuck one day with that, aren't we? My son even has his bank account online. It's an online bank. I don't know if I would go that far, you know, but he does, and he has his money deposited right in. I said, what are you going to do if that thing dies, you know? And they shut it down, and he's already had problems with one bank because he had to switch to another because they were doing something else. Then they held his money up. I tell you, I don't know. I like being able to walk in and see a teller. Amen. I walked in last year and I I was taking out $800, and I needed three $100 bills and I needed the rest broke out. I told him what I wanted, and I pulled out of the spot and I opened up my envelope and I'm missing three $100 bills. So I just pulled right into the parking spot and went up the door and banged on the door during the COVID, right in the beginning of the COVID thing, you know. And they let me in because I had a mask on, you know. And as soon as I walked in, Lisa said, I know what happened, you know. And she says, I got your money right here. I said, I'm glad you do, amen, because I was about ready to raise a big stink over this one, you know. Because I did not pull out of that parking lot. You can search my rig, my car, me, and everything else. But you got my money, amen. And so I'm even, you know, at least I can go in and complain that. But what are you going to do if you're doing online and it ain't there? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I tell you. That's almost a scary thought, isn't it? Well, here in Ezekiel chapter 18, if you'd stand with me, I'm going to read a verse to you tonight, beginning in verse 20. And then we're going to look at some things from this this half a chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning of verse 20, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Now, Father, thank you for your word again, and I pray, God, that you would use it to speak to our hearts tonight, Father. Help us, Father, to get some clarity on some things to challenge us, Father, again, from your word, that you would be honored and glorified, Father. And if anyone's not here that's not saved, please touch that heart tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, the title of this message, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Are you revivable? Just think about that for a minute. Are you revivable? Otherwise, could you be revived? Well, obviously, the answer is yes. Amen. The answer is yes. Anybody can be revived and get things right with God. But I want to look at this thought. Just, are you revivable? Now, this will make sense as we go on. But the first thought I have is there's a penalty for sin. Amen. Watch what he says again. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. I think it was that preacher there, morning pastor over there at the thing that said, if you don't repent of your sin, you will die. Amen. So I thought that was a pretty good statement he meant. But he didn't make it like you're going to die in 30 years or you're going to die in 40. It's like, if you sin, if you don't get that right with God, you'll die now. I mean, that was almost the thought he was putting in your mind. But that ought to make you want to get right with God. Amen. When you hear something like that preached. I've heard guys preach, pastor, to make me feel like I want to get saved again. And I know I'm saved. Amen. And that was almost one of the messages. Amen. He was really into it, really, really deep. But there's a penalty for sin. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, because he says again here, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Deuteronomy with me in chapter 24. We have a number of scriptures to look at this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 24. He makes this statement, Deuteronomy chapter 24. I'm going to look down to verse 16 with you, where he says this. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now listen, when your sin will affect your children and affect those around you, but they are responsible for their own sin. Your sin will affect them and maybe cause them, pastor, to go in a different direction than what we want, but they are responsible for their sin when they sin. That's the whole crux of this. And the soul that sinneth, he said, the soul that sinneth shall be, or every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Look at the Second Chronicles with me in your Bible, the book of Second Chronicles. Over in Second Chronicles, for his own sin, we get the understanding here. In the Second Chronicles, look with me at chapter 25. Second Chronicles in chapter 25. Over in Second Chronicles in chapter 25, and down to verse 16, he makes this statement. He says, "And it came to pass..." Now, let me just back up a little bit. Let's go back to verse 14. "And now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir with him, and set them up to be gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense of them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of thy people?" I think I'm in the right text. Chapter 25. What did I tell you? What verse did I tell you? 14. Well, I don't want 14. I want to go back. Back up with me. I don't know how in the world. They don't even say 14 on my paper. Amen. That's sad. Well, that's bad. Amen. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to chapter 25, verse 1, and we're going to go down through verse 4. He said, "Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. "Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father." Now watch. "But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, The father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his" what? "Own sin." And so because of what they had done, he killed the fathers of these children, killed the ones who were in charge. But there's a penalty for sin, and every man is responsible for his own sin. That's why, by the way, you're responsible for your own salvation. You can't get to heaven on your parents' coattails or your wife's coattails, your husband's coattails, by coming to church and listening to the preaching. That doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you to heaven is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ when you believe and come to Him and trust Him as your personal Savior, calling upon His name. Look at Jeremiah with me in chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Over in Jeremiah in chapter 31, watch what he says here. Jeremiah chapter 31, and let's go down to let's begin at verse 29, and we're going to go just verse 29 and verse 30 here. The Bible says, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge." Otherwise, what he is doing wrong, he's going to be the one that's going to have to answer for what he is doing. I don't have to answer for my son. My son does not have to answer for me. Now, I might have to answer, Pastor, for how I raised my children, amen. But they have to answer for their own sin, their own sin. But listen, you don't answer. You don't, Deb. You don't answer for your husband's sin. He doesn't answer for your sin. We answer for our own sin. Preacher, same with you. Dave, same thing. You answer for your own sin. You cannot answer for somebody else's sin. Now, you are responsible for what you do, and you are responsible for what you teach, and you are responsible for what you learn, but you are responsible for your own sin. Amen. And boy, we need to understand that fact, that we have a responsibility to God to respond to God because of our sin. Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. He doesn't say because I sin, my son can't be righteous. He says all, as written, there's none righteous and all have sinned. So we have to have an understanding that my sin is a result of me, what comes down to me from Adam. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for what I do. I'm responsible for what I did before I was saved, and I'm responsible for what I do after I'm saved. I'm responsible. My wife's not responsible for what I do. I'm responsible for what I do. Now, if my wife was a bank robber, Brother Tracy, and I know you're not a bank robber, amen. But if my wife was a bank robber and she says, "You either come with me and rob that bank or you're going to be in big trouble, buddy," I'm not going to go rob the bank. Go ahead, honey. You know, when they shoot you, I'll be at your funeral. That's how I look at it, amen. I'm just simply saying, but if I would go, then I'm responsible, not because she coaxed me into going. I'm responsible because I chose to do that in sin. Amen? And that, so responsibility comes back to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad for Romans 5:8, but now we were yet sinners, Christ commended His love toward us. Amen? Aren't you glad He commended His love towards you? Amen? And gave you salvation and let you come to Jesus Christ and call upon His name. But what a wonderful God we have. Now look with me, there's not, back to the text there in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 20 again. Ezekiel, or chapter 18, excuse me, again. And I want to look, let's look again at that verse 20. He says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's a penalty for sin. Now he said, "The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So if you're wicked and your children is righteous, guess what? His righteousness cannot extend to you, and your wickedness is not extending into him. And if you're righteous and your son is not righteous, or your child is not righteous, your righteousness is not going to extend to them, they cannot have your righteousness. Why? Because their wickedness is upon them. We have a responsibility. There's a responsibility. I wrote this down. Number two, there's a responsibility for sin. Not just a penalty for sin, but a responsibility for sin. You make your own choice. Amen? You make a choice every day to get out of bed and go to work, if you work. Amen? You make a choice on Sunday to get up and get out of bed and come to church, you know? And it's like the guy one time that was laying in bed, and his wife said, "Come on, honey, it's time to get up and get dressed and go to church." And he said, "I don't want to go today. I just don't want to go today." And she says, "You know, you need to go. You need to get up. Come on, we have to go. We have to go. I don't want to go today." She says, "You have to. You're the pastor. Amen. You have to go." I know many of you heard that before, and probably every one of you heard that before. But it humors me to see you at least get a smile on your face, Dave, when I say something like that. Thank you. That's good. You need to have one of the smiley faces. I had a guy preaching in my church one time, and he reached over in a meeting we were at, a COME conference, and he reached underneath the pulpit that morning. He said, "My wife tells me I don't smile enough." So he put up one of the Jimmy Carter smiles. He big old bright teeth sticking out, and yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought, amen. You'd have to see it. You'd have to have been there. You'd have to have been there to see it, amen. It's like when somebody falls off a bicycle and you laugh. You have to see it in order to laugh at it. I mean, it sounds funny, but, And then when they get hurt, man, why? We really laugh when people get hurt. Why is that, amen? I don't know. Well, I tell you. Reminds me of New Guinea. When I was in New Guinea, they were showing a film one night in the meetings, and it was a missionary film of somebody in Africa. And man, they got lost a leg. And everybody, all the national people there, all the New Guineans, they're sitting underneath that tent, they're watching this film, and they all start laughing. Because of them, that's how they dealt with when something would happen, It's like, whoa. I mean, it was funnier than anything. Listen to them laughing, man. The movie wasn't funny, but they were funny. Well, there's a responsibility for sin. You make your own choices. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 with me. Leviticus chapter 19. We'll see something, I believe, interesting here in the book of Leviticus. And Pastor, I know you probably already know where I'm going with this, but just humor me for a little bit, amen. But Leviticus in chapter 19, and I want to see here. I want to back up. Go back up with me to verse 5. "And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will." They're not somebody else's. They're responsible for themselves. Amen. They have to offer it at their own will. It's about be eaten the same day ye offer it. Now listen. And on the morrow, and on the morrow, you can eat that day, you offer it, and you eat the next day. And if it remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. Now watch what he says. "And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable, and it shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." Now, listen. Here's what's interesting. Here's what I get out of that. Here's what's interesting to me about responsibility for your sin. He says you can have that offering and offer it and eat of it the day you offer it and the next day. But if you eat it the third day, did you catch that phrase he says in there? If you eat it the third day, he says this, it is abominable and it shall what? Shall not be what? Accepted. So whatever they did the first 2 days, no matter where their heart was in offering and offering the first 2 days, no matter how good it was, no matter their intent, no matter if they really meant it, he says if you eat of that thing the third day, it means absolutely nothing the first 2 days. It's done with. It's an abomination before God. And sometimes we think, because we come to church and we're doing okay, I want to know, when your heart is not where it ought to be as a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't care how many times you darken the door of the church, I don't care how much you read your Bible, I don't care how many hymns you sing, I don't care how many preachers you listen to on TV or messages you listen to, if your heart is not where it ought to be to the Lord, it doesn't mean anything. And that's the sad truth of the matter. Right, why? Because we are responsible for what we do with what we know. Amen? We are responsible for what we do for what we know. Look at Leviticus in chapter 5. Go back to Leviticus in chapter 5 with me just for a moment. Leviticus in chapter 5. Over and let me get myself back there in Leviticus in chapter 5. And we're going to read this. Look with me, if you will, down to verse 15 for a minute. Leviticus chapter 5. "If a soul commit a trespass and sin," now watch, "and sin through ignorance." Now, have you ever done anything ignorantly? I have. I remember, especially when you're first saved, amen. There might be some things you would do that maybe you were ignorant to, and then it's pointed out to you later on, and you think, man, that was stupid, you know, or I did that, that wasn't right. He said, if a soul committeth a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy watch of the Lord, then he shall bring watch. He's not off the hook. He finds it out. He's done it ignorantly. But he says, he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with the estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing and shall add the fifth part thereunto. Boy, he's got to add to it. A fifth part thereunto. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with a ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wished it not, though he did not know. If he breaks it, did not know what God, if it just didn't understand, but he did not know. He said, he wished it not, did not understand it, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. That's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there is none righteous, no, not one. No matter what a man does, he's going to stand before God when even the born again believer is going to stand at the bema seat of Jesus Christ and give an answer for every word the Bible teaches us that proceeds out of our mouth. Man, I tell you what, my friend, that ought to wake us up. That ought to wake us up. That ought to shake us. Our very foundation as believers in Christ and point our eyes in the right direction to Jesus Christ through ignorance. You ever done anything ignorantly? Amen. Especially when you're first saved, amen. You might have done some things ignorantly when you were first saved that you didn't think about. You just didn't, you know, no big deal. I've done it before. That's how I lived my life and didn't know the Word of God. So you might do something that you realize now is not right. When I first got saved, I drank a couple times. But I tell you, Dave, but I knew it was wrong. Boy, and God slapped me down and got a hold of my heart. Got a hold of me. He had to shake me up, amen, to get my attention that I would walk away from that and confess it to him. Because I knew when he was talking in the scriptures about wine, he's not talking about an alcoholic beverage. Because there was too much already heard and already read about when I was in prison, Pastor, I got saved. People gave me books and I started reading them. Well, guess what? I found that stuff in books that people were giving me from good preachers that I was reading, amen, while I was still in the state penitentiary. But you can do things ignorantly, though. There might be something to do. I never found a verse in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not smoke." Other than that, there's smoke shall ascend up the up from hell. That's the only reference I see to smoking, you know, in the scripture. But you know, I never saw anything that said, "Thou shalt not smoke." But boy, the principle sure is there, isn't it, in the Word of God? That because it's a vice that we get a hold of in our lives. And so, you know, I smoked for a couple years after I was saved. And boy, God got a hold of my heart on that, you know, and had to slap me around a couple of times to get my attention, you know, and put me back in where I needed to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, I'm glad those things are over, man. Some things I did stupidly when I was first saved. Some things I acted in a manner that was not right for a believer in Jesus Christ, amen. And don't look at me funny because you've done the same thing, amen. I mean, we've all done something like that. It might not be, maybe it wasn't liquor, maybe it wasn't the cigarettes, but it was something else, surely. There's something that you have done or maybe a way you were when you were first saved. When you were first saved. Preach, you didn't know everything you know today when you were 12 years old, amen. Aren't you glad God has saved you and kept you by His grace and taught you some things through the years? Amen? Amen. I tell you what, boy, God is sure good. And then look with me, if you will, back to the text with me, Ezekiel, in chapter 18. Because he makes a statement in verse 21 and 22. But if the wicked, I like this, will turn from all his sins that he hath committed. That's repentance, amen. By the way, there's forgiveness for sin. But it comes with repentance, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Now we know it's appointed on the man wants to die, amen. That's what the Bible says. So we know that one day this body is going to go to the grave. But boy, my soul is going to die. My soul is going to heaven, amen. My soul is not going to suffer eternal damnation. My soul's going to be in glory with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, man. I tell you, isn't God good? Hallelujah. I don't know. Hey, how's God fill us with the Spirit, and He's in heaven too? Boy, isn't this amazing? Jesus is in our heart, you know. Those many that has received Him, amen, to Him. Anyway, the rest of the verse. Just skip. I lost it, brother. It's gone. Give it to me. Give it to me. So as many as received Him,
then gave you power to
become the sons of God. There you go. Thank you. You help me. Amen. My mind goes anymore. It's just it's out there somewhere. I just can't find it. Amen. What did somebody say one time? They said, my mind's like a steel trap. It's just rusted shut. Amen. And and look at verse 22. All His transgressions that He hath committed, they shall not be met. Watch. They shall not be mentioned unto Him in His righteousness that He hath hath done and shall live. Notice that one more time. And all His transgressions that He hath committed. What? He's made things right. He's repented. He's come back. All the things that you've done, when you repent, when you get that right and you're not doing it anymore, they shall not be mentioned unto Him in His righteousness that He hath done, He shall live. What's the righteousness there? Confessing your sin to a holy, righteous God. It's not that they are righteous in themselves. You can never find that. You'll never find that taught in the Scriptures from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. You'll never find that the righteousness of man saves man. It's nowhere in the Scripture to be taught that way. Amen? It's not there. Remember Abraham? It was counted to him for righteousness' sake because he did right and obeyed God. So God looks at him and said, boy, because of that, that's what was counted. He was justified because of that, because of what he'd been doing. But God saw his heart, and boy, if his heart wasn't close to the Lord, he could never have been justified, amen, in the Scripture. Boy, God's so good to us, amen, and good to him. The book. Look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 103. Psalms 103. And over the book of Psalms 103. These are some interesting verses to me. And it's not that you have not seen these before, but let's just remind ourselves. He says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. But when you confess them, as far as the east, whatever is east, that's east and west, amen. As far as the east is from the west, He said. And what does it mean, as far as the east is from the west? Well, eastward. You go east, guess what you're going to continue to do? It's perpetual. If you went west, it'll be the same way. But if you go north, what are you going to eventually do? You're not going to continue to go north. You're going to come down south, amen. So He says, boy, you're forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, your transgressions have been removed from you. Look at the book of Micah with me. The book of Micah in your Bible, right before the book of Nahum there. The book of Micah, and right after Jonah, you got the book of Micah there. So come over to the book of Micah with me, and go to chapter. Let's look here. Let's go to chapter 7. Micah and chapter 7. And look what he says in Micah chapter 7 here. Micah chapter 7. And down to, let's go down to verse 19. He says this. Let me get myself over there. Where am I at? Oh, I was looking at Nahum. Verse 19, Micah chapter 7. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all our sins into what? The depths of the sea. He puts as far as the east is from the west. And He puts it in the depths of the sea. The depth. That's as far down. That's the bottom of the sea. As far as you can get out to an ocean, that's where your sins are. That deep, that far down. And what He's saying is I've forgiven you. Well, what a God. But man, that's not the end of it. Look at me, if you will, at the Jeremiah chapter 31 in your Bible. It's Jeremiah in the chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. Look at this verse with me. All right. Get over there, Mike. It's over here somewhere. There. 33, 32, 30. I got it. 31. Jeremiah 31. Now look down at verse 34 with me. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. As far as the east is from the west, bottom of the deepest sea, the bottom of the sea. That's where it's at, all the way to the bottom, he says. And he says he will remember it no more. But he doesn't just stop right there. He doesn't just stop with that one. Look at Isaiah chapter 38, just a few pages back in your Bible, probably about 20 or 30 pages backwards. Isaiah chapter 38. And over in Isaiah in chapter 38 and down to verse 17, he makes this statement. Behold, for peace I had bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Man, look, he says, east from the west, deepest sea, remembers it no more and puts it behind him. Man, what a God we have that would do that for you. And what a God we have that would do that for me. But it takes repentance. It takes you as a believer in Jesus Christ, when something's not right in your heart, to get that thing right with God. And then it tells you in 1 John 1, 9. Go to 1 John, because there's another one. 1 John with me. And not verse 9 either. I said verse 9, but I didn't mean verse 9. 1 John. And look with me in 1 John. And let me get myself over there. Chapter 1, and look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. Man, he puts it as far as the east from the west, puts it upon the deepest sea, remembers it no more, puts it behind his back, and then he says he cleanses you. He cleanseth you from all sin. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you, it can't get any better than that. But even after all that, Pastor, on top of that, he gives us eternal life. Gives us a place to go, the place to live. He cleanses us from all sin, he says. Now look with me, if you will. Let's go back to the text in verse 19. Because I want to look at a couple of verses with you. I want to come back to verse 30. Verse 30. So we need there's responsibility for sin, there's penalty for sin, there's forgiveness for sin. And you come back to verse chapter 19, verse 30 with me. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. And then he has a comma there, and then he says, recapitalize, repent. Repent. I think he means business here, amen. It's got an emphasis to it, so he says, repent. And then there's a comma. He says, and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed. Now, he cast them away from him when you confess them. He says, you get rid of that in your life. To repent, get that thing right with God. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure. Listen, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Oh, that's why he can say in the scripture that he came to die for all mankind. Amen. God has never taken pleasure in someone dying and sending them to hell. That's never been God's desire to do. God wants man to repent. He said in 1 John 1, 9, for you and I as believers, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it just takes confession, repentance, making things right with him. It was in 2 Peter where he says that, is it chapter 2 and verse 9, I lost the verse, let me go there. You know where it starts? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'll get there in a minute. 2 Peter with me. I think it's 2 Peter, I believe. And my mind is just not going tonight like I want it to go, amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Nope, it's not verse 9. I don't know where it's at now. But it's one where he ends up saying that he's not willing that any soul should perish. That anyone should perish. You know where that's at, 1 Peter? Well, if you find it, let me know.
Chapter 3, verse
9. First or second?
Second Peter,
chapter 3, verse 9. Well, I was close, amen. Yeah, watch what he says again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By the way, he's not willing that any born-again believer should live in sin, but that all should come to repentance. All repent. All make things right with him. But we need to get some things right with the Lord, amen, as the children of God. Repent and come to Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, repent and come to Christ, you know. And then repent and get it right with God in 1 John 1, 9. Just repent. Get things right with God. Get saved if you're not saved, and get things right with God if you're not right with God. What's a better thing than to get things right with God, amen? And nothing better than to get things settled with God and get things right with him and make it right with him as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know where you're at this evening between you and the Lord. I don't know. I hope you're saved. I really do. But if you're not, my friend, I've counted it a great privilege to pray for you, because he wants to put your sins as far as the east from the west. He wants to put your sin in the bottom of the sea. He wants to put your sin away from him, behind his back. He wants to remember your sin no more. And then he wants you to trust Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, he's faithful just to forgive us our sin. And because of the blood of Christ, he will forgive us for our sin. But he wants you to come to him and make things right with him as a child of God. I don't know where you're at. I know there's been times I've come into the church house and I've sat down in a pew, and my heart was not where it ought to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. And God will never bless that in your life. Never bless that. Maybe tonight with an upraised hand, you say, "Mike, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure. Could you pray for me?" Anybody like that tonight, just stick your hand up in the air. That's me, and I'll pray for you. Don't see any hands. Second question is this: Mike, would you just pray for me tonight? Because the Lord spoke to my heart this evening. How about right now? Just slip your hand up in here. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Others, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your precious word. And Lord, you know the heart again. You know the need tonight, Father. And God, you know when we have eaten that sacrifice the third day. And Lord, everything we've done up to that point means absolutely nothing then. God, help us to do it your way. Help us to be obedient to thee, Lord, and move ourselves all the way, dear God, that you'd have the honor and the glory and be magnified upon high. Help us, dear Lord, to honor and glorify you now, Lord. I pray, Father, be with these tonight that raise their hand, Father. Strengthen them, Father, and move in their lives and guide them, Father, as only you can do, that you be honored and glorified now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to your heart this evening. Why don't you just slip? God bless you, sister. Just slip out and come tonight. God bless you. Come on. The Lord spoke to your heart. You just slip out and you come tonight and give it to the Lord. Let God do in your heart what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it, and move yourself out of the way that God would be glorified and honored because of what he is doing in your heart and in your life, and you're giving it to him.
I surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. We used to sing a chorus around here, and I jotted down a few of the words. If I didn't get them, we'll make up the rest again. See if you can remember this. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my heart is new, and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally, praise God. My sins are gone, 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 gone. Praise the Lord one more time. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my heart is new, and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally, praise God. My sins are gone, 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 gone. Praise the Lord. Appreciate seeing that right in the Bible. Hallelujah. And good message. Appreciate again. Good message on repentance right there, too. And boy, we need that in our lives. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord bless you for being here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night for our last of our revival services on Friday night. So be in your place and appreciate again folks that have been coming out so faithful. And let God have His work and His way in our lives in this week. And God will bless in that. Praise the Lord. Brother Cranmer, why don't you go ahead and dismiss our service in prayer tonight?
Dear Holy Father, Lord, it was good to be in your house.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lord, for the message, Lord, you laid on our heart. Thank you so much, Lord, for our hearts, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as you leave here, I just pray, Lord, that you see all that you have, Lord, and just praise you and thank you so much for the safety of me. Go home and go to safety with your turn tomorrow. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.